Now, as my parents, as many of you may have experienced when you were growing up, they gave me a little bit of money to put into the offering plate every week. How many of you did that or received that? That's right. So you all know what I'm talking about. Now, we would put it in each week, and the offering plate would come by, and it would be something that was just kind of a token thing that we would do. And as I grew older, my parents stopped doing that with me, and I began to do it myself. Now, when I was about 8 years old, I started giving to the church. I would shovel in my neighborhood, I would mow grass, I would go around and rake leaves. From about the age of 8 till about the age of 12 or 13, the people in my neighborhood would know that I was kind of the yard man, right? You would always see me walking around with my shovel, with a rake, or with a mower, depending on what season it was in. Now, I lived right inside the beltway of Baltimore City, and the houses were really big. So you can imagine that when I would go around and shovel snow or mow lawns or rake leaves, that I was given a pretty good sum of money. In fact, between the ages of 8 and 12, I would walk around on any given weekend and mow people's lawns, and I would walk home with at least $100 in my pocket. As a 9-year-old, $100. I mean, what in the world am I going to do with $100, right? So when I would come home, I would always set aside some for church, I would always set aside some to save, and then I'd blow the rest on baseball cards. That's all that I had. I mean, so like $80, I'd be on baseball cards. Now, my parents would always mention to me the idea of needing to give, but I did it more out of this routine, right? And I'm sure many of us may even do this now. Do it out of a sense of routine instead of doing it out of a sense of what God is calling us to do. Now, when I got out of school, I realized that I started learning what it really means to give. I learned it's not about giving to the church, but giving as a spiritual discipline, something between God and I. So I started debating the concept of a tithe, and because of that, I started understanding my giving in a whole different level, that of generosity and sacrifice, something that I believe Jesus addresses more specifically in his conversations about money. Many might not realize this, but Jesus in his ministry spoke 30% of the time about generosity and giving and sacrifice. Jesus' conversation of money and steward revolves around a lot of his ministry. And if I'm candid, there have been times in my life when my giving has been scarce. So my giving was lower than what the church would consider a tithe. And on the other hand, there have been times of abundance in life when my giving has been over a tithe. But what I will say is that in my adult life, giving for me has more to do with what I'm giving out of sacrifice, not because of a percentage of my income. My guess is that many people have experienced these same things as I have. Times in your life when things are abundant and sometimes in life when things are scarce. And I have found that people who give when they are struggling have a different outlook on people when they give out of a sense of abundance. So today we're going to be looking at what it means to give sacrificially to God. That way it doesn't matter if you're giving out of abundance or out of scarcity. It matters where your heart is when you give. Now, money is one of these topics that no one ever likes to talk about in church. How many of you love to talk about money in general? Yeah, like two of you, right? I mean, no one loves to talk about money, especially in church. A lot of times people look at it and they say, well, the church is just out for money, right? Where they say that the church is all about getting people in the pews so that they can support the church as an institution financially. Now, while there is a need for the church financially, it is not to be the reason for your giving. It's a turnoff for many people to see a pastor standing up in front and say, give the one thing that you have been working so hard all week to accumulate. Give from the one thing that keeps you afloat. Give from the one thing that you use to have fun with. It's tough to talk about money. However, like all things in life, like the scriptures, there are things that we can learn from these scriptures. Giving is not a vote for Jesus. Giving is not about the need for the church to do more. Giving is not about anything but how we honor Christ, how we honor God through everything that we have, including our finances, in order to share the gospel of Jesus in this world. It's about being faithful to the resources that God has given to us. It's about being a good steward of the things that we have been blessed with. Giving is about sacrifice, letting go, surrender. Giving is about love. Now, today's scripture is one of those great scriptures that helps us get a glimpse into what Jesus felt about stewardship and giving and sacrifice. As it was just read, Jesus is coming into Jerusalem right before he was going to be crucified. The crowds were gathering for the Passover feast, and many people were coming into the city. And I can imagine that Jesus is tired right about now, tired from a long trip, tired from the celebration of his entry just prior to the scripture, tired from the speaking that he had been doing. And it's this mild Sabbath morning in the Palestine city of Jerusalem. The sun hadn't yet risen to its full strength, yet people are already lined up all the way down a dusty road that leads to the holy temple. Smoke is in the air because of the animals that had already been sacrificed and burned on the altar. And in that slow-moving line, there are rich people and there are poor people alike carrying with them the offerings that they were going to present before the Lord. The line leads to a small square room lined with metal collection boxes. These boxes have these metal horns that kind of come out for it so that you can drop your offering inside of them. And as you can imagine, the coins make the most loud clanging sound as they're cast off into these receptacles. Now money speaks, doesn't it? It always gets attention. It got the attention that day in the temple long ago. There were these 12 large horn-shaped receptacles, you know. People would come by and they would toss their money in. They didn't have paper money back then, so large coins made more noise than what? Smaller coins. Gold and silver made a nicer clanging sound than a copper coin. Many coins sounded really nice compared to what? A few coins. You know, people aren't dummies, right? They had it figured out that if you really wanted to impress the people around you, you put in lots of large coins made of gold and silver. And people were doing that all day in front of Jesus and his disciples. And then Jesus heard these two faint little clunks. A widowed woman put these two coins that weren't worth much at all. If you look at verse 43 and 44, it says the woman gave two mites. A mite was the smallest of the Jewish coins, worth about 1/5 of a penny in today's money. Two mites was equal to one Roman farthing, which in today's worth is about 2/5 of a cent. Most of the people shuffling along made their quick donation and moved on, but one person, Jesus, who had already given his offering, stands over in the corner with his disciples. And of course, also in the room, supervising these money boxes were several priests. And as the wealthy citizens pass by and make their loud clanging noise by virtue of their many large shiny coins, they seem to draw these favored glances. Many seem impressed with the generosity of those who cast an abundance of big, heavy coins into these boxes. And it's not a surprise when no one pays attention to this one frail little lady who enters the room. Only one person sees her, and it's the person who sees all. But she nonetheless stops at that collection terminal. She reaches into her tiny satchel, and she draws out these two insignificant coins. She tosses both of these lightweight coins inside of a big metal box, and their faint click is drowned out by the heavy clanking of all of those around her, so nobody notices her. After all, what difference could two small coins make? But Jesus is impressed. Jesus is so impressed that he singles out this woman in the entire multitude and cheerfully confesses that her offerings are more important than those made by men of wealth and prestige. And he recognizes this seemingly uneventful giving and by telling his disciples, and it's permanently recorded in scriptures. And after reading this event and after listening to the event, one might wonder, why is Jesus so impressed with this widow who gave just two measly mites, 1/5 of a cent? What was it that caused him to stop and single her out in the crowd? Why did he honor her minute gift so proudly and publicly? Well, in our text this morning, I believe Jesus is telling that we need to give everything to God. Yeah, our resources, but most importantly, our lives. Jesus knew that this woman was the one who took a risk. We don't know much about her. We know she was a poor widow. We don't know her name. There's very little we know about her, but that's not surprising in that day, right? Widows were not highly regarded in those days. She would not have inherited her husband's wealth. There was no Social Security back then. The money she probably had, she probably needed to beg for it. But there she is, as poor as she is, putting everything that she owned into the temple offering as her gift to God. She could have easily just put one of those in there, right? I mean, she could have put one and kept one for herself. And given her poor situation, I bet God would have not minded if she would have kept at least one of those coins for herself. I mean, after all, the rich were putting more than enough in there, weren't they? But this woman put in everything she had. Even if she only put one coin in, she would have put half of everything that she had. How many of us would be prepared to give away half of what you own? The English version of the Bible says she put in all she had to live on. The original Greek is a little bit different, and it gives a better perspective. It says this: she gave all her livelihood. That is what her offering meant. She gave everything, her whole life, to God. She would walk out of that temple area that day with absolutely nothing to her name. Nothing, that is, except for the faith she had in God. Matthew 6:21 says this: "For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." This woman gave everything to God, and that's where her treasure was, and that's where her heart was, and that, friends, is where her life was. Bless you. Now, while this is to be a sermon on money and how we're to give, it's much more than that. In fact, I believe that our giving is a direct reflection of our faith walk and how we have been giving our lives to God, not just about what we give to God. Isn't that what Jesus is saying here? Now, we know that we're not saved by the amount of money we give to God. Jesus is challenging people who are only giving part of their life to God. The woman gave her whole life to God, not part of it. That's what he's speaking about here. You see, God isn't interested in part of your life. He wants all of it. He wants all of your time, all of your strength, all of your talents, all of your spirit. He wants all of your resources, all of it. He wants everything to be under his control. And it doesn't mean that we neglect the things that we need to live on, right? Or the time that we need with our families, or the talents that we give to our job. He wants all of those things to honor and glorify himself in his kingdom. In fact, Jesus says that only giving part of your life to God is worse than giving nothing. Remember the book in Revelation, right? Jesus condemns the church in Laodicea. He condemned them from being lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, only half committed to God. One or the other God can work with. God can work with cold. God can work with hot. He cannot work with lukewarm. He does what? Makes God gag. It spits them out of his mouth. The church thought that they were rich, but they were poor in faith. And that's what the Pharisees were thinking. That way they were hypocrites, weren't they? They loved to show off their religious commitment, and they took all the glamour out of their high calling. And at the same time, they were living problem lives of selfishness. Jesus condemned them and warned everyone to look away from them. They were worse than the merchants and the con artists existing in the marketplace, because the Pharisees were God's representative to the people. When you are lukewarm, only partially committed to God, it is difficult to see your faults, and they are easy to justify. When you are lukewarm, means you're living a lie, saying you love God, but not with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole strength. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law thought they were the best and most committed in the faith. On the outside, they looked like they were doing the right thing for God. They wore the right clothes. They prayed the long prayers. They were seated in high places in synagogues, and everyone respected them. In fact, they were so far from God that it was the real concern. It'd be difficult to point out their error, because they were so far, as they were concerned, nothing was better than their relationship with God. They needed to be challenged. They needed to be broken down. But what about our situation today? They wore the right clothes. We dress in our Sunday best. They prayed long prayers. We can pray long prayers. They were faithful in their offering. Well, we are faithful in our offering. They went to synagogue. Well, we come to church. But how have we been living our lives, friends? How have we been like this woman who gave everything to God? How do we give our time? How do we give our talents? And yes, friends, how have we been giving our resources to God? How have we been demonstrating that we wish to honor God with our faith and our faithfulness by giving him everything? Jesus, I believe here, is not only sharing that we need to give everything to God and give it faithfully to God. I believe Jesus takes it another step further in the Scripture. I think Jesus is saying that no matter how much we give, it's all about how we give it. It's about giving in an attitude of surrender and of sacrifice. Why was this giving so different, so unusual? This woman gave 2/5% of a cent and was praised by Jesus over her gifts, who came and gave so much more than she did. You know, Jesus saw in her gift something that he didn't see in the other gifts. He saw real sacrifice and selflessness here. Jesus is not interested in how much and what we give. He is interested in how much we keep for ourselves. She held back nothing. God is interested in our sacrifice. And most of us, we don't know what real sacrifice is. We give to God in a year about what we give to feed pets or bad habits. Giving is not the only thing we can sacrifice in, friends. We need to sacrifice in our prayer time. We need to sacrifice in our worship and our time that we share with other believers. We need to sacrifice in our attendance and in our service to God and His kingdom. This widow was willing to give from the heart. Her love of God knew no boundaries. She gave even though she could not afford it. She gave because she wanted to give. She was not compelled by guilt or fear or reward. She gave because she was in love. She was in love with God. She gave because she felt a deep commitment to God. She gave because this is the one way that she could respond to God's blessings in her life. She gave sacrificially. She gave with a humble respect to God. She gave quietly with no fanfare, no noise, but it was a small noise of that sacrifice that drowned out all the other loud noises that day in Jesus' ear. The noise of the big givers who gave so that all the world could see their righteousness. These two small coins were heard above the show, above the fanfare of the Pharisees giving so that everyone would know that they were upholding the law. This widow gave from her heart, and it was the noise that spurred on Jesus to say, "This widow has put more in than everyone else." She gave out of her poverty and then put everything that she had, her whole living, her whole being, is what she gave. You know, the rich gave away large amounts and still had lots left to live on. So they remained pretty comfortable. Jesus didn't directly criticize them. I want you all to recognize that. Jesus didn't criticize them for that. But he pointed very directly to the faith, to the generosity, and to the trust of this poor widow as an example for the disciples then and for us today. Complete trust in God with everything in your life. When we sacrifice all, when we give all that we have, there's nothing left but our faith. There's nothing left but our trust in God, in God's provision, in God's assurance, in God's strength. Hebrews 12:5 says this, "Keep your lives free from the love of money." It doesn't say keep your lives free from money. It says keep your lives free from what? The love of money. And be content with what you have, because God says, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." This woman and God knew that God would provide, and because of that, she was able to sacrifice in a way for God and His glory. The sacrifice of all things, especially those things that we hold on so dear, is difficult to us. This is why the story of the woman is so important. Again, it was not about what was happening, but about why it was happening. We like to hold on to things, don't we? We don't like to let go of control or of time or of energy or of money, do we? Surrendering our bank account to God, surrendering our wallets to God, surrendering our resources to God is something that we struggle with. Let's not deny this. I mean, let's not pretend here this morning that this isn't an ouchy conversation, that this isn't a difficult conversation. We don't like to surrender our money to God. We don't like to surrender our time or even our talents to God. And while we know this is a huge difficulty for us, let us consider what it means to surrender, to sacrifice, to let go of our lives, every bit of our lives, to God's faithful and trusting hands. The poor widow recognized that all that she had came from God. That everything she had to live on, God was going to take care of her. It came from God, and she wanted to use it for God. Her giving was sacrificial. It cost her something. The size of the gift is not the important factor here. It is what it costs the giver. Because she was prepared to go without in order to be generous. And as I say that, friends, I have to admit, I feel a little bit of a shame that I have at times been giving and hoarding at the same time. So that my giving has only been partially giving. That there have been times where I know I could have given more to be more sacrificial, but I've held back. And I pray that God forgives me of those times. This woman could have kept one coin back for herself, yet she flung everything in. How often do we keep some back for ourselves? Not just money. How many times do we keep our lives back from Jesus? Yeah, I can serve you a couple hours during the week, God. Yes, I can come to church maybe a couple times a month. But God, I'm not going to give you control of that relationship. I'm not going to give you that control of that plan for the future. I'm not going to give you control of what I hear in my own heart that I want to do. That talent I have, that schedule I want to keep, I want to keep all of that. Someone said that there are three kinds of givers: the flint, the sponge, and the honeycomb. In order to get anything out of a flint, you need to hammer it. And then you can only get chips and sparks. To get water out of a sponge, you got to what? You got to squeeze it. The more you use pressure, the more money you can get. Friends, this is not going to be a church that is going to hammer you or squeeze you. But the honeycomb, it overflows with its own sweetness. How do you respond to the giving of your time and your talent and your resources? Are you a flint? Are you a sponge? Or are you a honeycomb? Do you give sacrificially, knowing that it's tough, it's difficult, but it reaps a deeper level of trust and surrender to God? This woman is a sign to the disciples and to us that Jesus wants us to live in complete trust to God, that God will provide as we sacrificially give to Him and from our blessings. This poor widow, she put everything in. Everything that we have comes from God. What are we keeping back? What are we holding on to? And all of our struggles with money and generosity and giving and sacrificial giving and forgiveness and relationship and our time and our talents and everything, what are we holding back? What are we wanting to hold on to? Because whatever we want to hold back is exactly what Jesus wants us to dedicate to Him. So can we commit everything to Jesus?